Okay, so today we're going to fast forward a little bit to Parshas Bo. And we don't see Moshe davening, but there's an interesting conversation between Paro and Moshe about the nature of tefillah. Moshe has warned Paro about this invasion of Arba, and the, not really the slaves of Paro, but the associates of Paro, the noblemen of Paro, are already trying to foment against keeping the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. So, Vayishav, as Aaron, as Moshe, as Aaron, source number one, Moshe and Aaron are dragged back into the palace after Paro had exiled them, had discharged them. And he says, you know what? Take your 3 days. Take your holiday. Lechu, line number one, source one. If you ask Hashem, alok yechem, miva mihalchem. Just give me a passenger list. This one knows who's going. I'll let you leave. This is a breakthrough. For the first time, Paro demonstrates flexibility, but he wants to know who's leaving. Moshe says, everyone. Very famous pasuk. Vayema Moshe ben Areinu v'skenenu neilech. And Paro is a little bit uncomfortable, and that discomfort is expressed in the final pasuk of this section. Let the men leave. Why women? Why children? You're going to daven. You're going to bring korbanos. You're going for ritual. You're going to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a male-centric activity. Why females and why children? So, the question is, what was Moshe's response, and why did the children and the women have to leave? So part of it is because we're not just entering the desert to daven or to offer korbanos. If you look carefully at Moshe Rabbeinu's language, when he demands that everyone leave, source number one, line three, "Bitzoneinu uvivkareinu nelech ki chag Hashem lanu." Paro's under the impression that they're going for a zebach. Moshe says, we're not visiting only for a zebach. We're visiting the desert for a chag. Look at the Sfarno, the Chizkuni, source number three. Zebach is ritual. Chag is a celebration. It's more holistic. It's more sweeping. Yiddishkeit doesn't create schizophrenia between family life and between ritual life, as if there's ritual and religion and everything else is either neutral or counterindicated. There are moments in which we celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a chag feature, in a chag setting, in our families, with our families. And of course, Karban Pesach is the paradigm. Karban Pesach is a karban that has to be consumed by a family. Celebes avos, celebes. It's impossible to consume a lamb individually. In fact, it's really not a karban. Karban Pesach is right at that boundary between korbanos and non-korbanos, because you don't really put that much blood on the Mizbeach, only a small matan dam echas on the Mizbeach. None of the animal is brought on the Mizbeach, the entire animal is eaten, none of the animal is delivered to the Kohanim. So it's really right at the boundary between Korbanos. In fact, there's some very interesting halachos. There's a mission in the beginning of Zvachim. Kol ha-Zvachim shenizbichu shelo l'shman kasher, el shelo ala l'bal l'shem chova. So if you shech the korban ola l'shem shlamim, it's still kasher. You may not be yotzi mitzvah ola, but the korban isn't considered psilei mekdashin. But if you shecht an ol l'shem Pesach, then that's pasul, according to one day. Because Pesach is not really a korban. So you're not just switching from one korban to another, you're essentially rerouting a korban ola to a non-korban. So part of Moshe's response to Paro is, we're not just interested in zebach, we're interested in chag. We celebrate a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, not just through davening and through a korban and through a ceremony and through a ritual. We stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more holistic sense with our families. In fact, let alone Gemara and Zvachim, you'd think that the blood on the doorpost was a sign for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to determine which house was Jewish and which house was Egyptian. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a sign. The blood on the doorpost was Hazaz Hadam. But Yosef, who happened to be blind and therefore he had some vision, source number five, Tanav Yosef, it's Gemara B'sachim, Shlosha Mizbuchos Hayusham. There were three mizbechos in Mitzrayim. Alamashkof, Yashtei, and Mezuzos. Placing the blood on the doorpost was not to signal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was Hazaras Adam. Every korban needs some form of Hazaras Adam. So essentially, the first mizbeach was a Jewish house. The first mizbeach in Jewish history, not the mizbeach of Noach, and not the mizbeach of Avram and Yaakov, the first mizbeach in modern Jewish history, when we have a nation, is a Jewish home. Alamashkof, Yashtei, and Mezuzos. So part of Moshe's response has little to do with tefillah, but everything to do with religion. We're not just exiting to the desert to daven, you won't have a chag. You think it's a zebach, Rashi source number two. Why are you taking the children if you're offering a zevach, nizbucha lelokinu, ve'in derech hataf lizboach, Moshe responds, we're not interested solely in a zevach, we're interested in a chag Hashem lanu. But part of Moshe's answer is, even if it were a zevach, even if it were standing in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if it were tefillah, Levi, please close the door, please. Thank you. Even if it were tefillah, there still is justification for children and women. Why? For two reasons. First of all, and I'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, tefillah is not just about speech and communications. Tefillah is about encounter, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of people, I think, overrate kavana. Very often in yeshiva, boys will come over to me and said, I had a hard time today davening, I had no kavana. I said, me too. So how do you make your tefillah successful? Because there's so many other parts of tefillah aside from kavana. Coming to shul properly, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling that you have the presence of Omid Lefnei Hashem. In fact, the first tefillah wasn't even verbal. Avram's tefillah, we don't really know what he said. Elamakum asher amad sham, was the day after Stone. He had finished the negotiations. He just came to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The core of tefillah is Dilufnei Miyatim Omdim. So it's presence, it's encounter, it's space. It's not just speech and cognition and emotions. So when we want to encounter Hashem, we want to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the entire community. So the children and the women are there, not only because it's more than just the zevach, it's a chag, and it's more than just the tefillah, it's a holistic family experience, which is part of religion. Even within davening, and that's why we encourage children to come to shul, we encourage everyone to be in shul, despite the challenges sometimes that too many children present. Maybe during Kriyas HaMegillah, we try to be matnah, maybe during Kriyas Shofar, but generally, we're willing to pay the price for a little bit of a disturbance to have as many people in shul as possible. The second reason that we want children in shul is not just because, well, we want to have as large a representation of our community as possible. There are disturbances, there's a price to pay, but we're willing to pay that price. It's because by looking at children, we actually daven better. The Marshal writes in source number 7, Marshal was the Yamshel Shlomo, lived in Lublin in the 16th century. He's quoting Rabbeinu Shimshon of Kinon. Rabbeinu Shimshon of Kinon lived in France towards the end of the 13th century, the beginning of the 14th century. He's not that well known. His sefer is called Sefer HaKrisus. It's a sefer about psak, about Yud-Gimel Midos Shatar Nidreshes Bahem, the 32 Midos of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Yossi Aglili, about how to reach psak. It's called Sefer HaKrisus. It's not about Masechtas Krisus. It's about how to reach a psak. It's one of the earliest svarim about Darchei HaPsak. What's interesting about Rabbi Shimshon of Kinon is he lives through a very, very dark period in French Jewish history. We all thought about France last week with the burning of Notre Dame and the fire. The golden era of French Jewry was the early and late part of the 13th century. The Maharam of Rottenburg, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, Rabbeinu Peretz, these are the great French rabbis. Rabbeinu Shimshon is a little bit after them. He dies, it's hard to know when, 1330, 1331. What makes that important is because he lives through 1306. 1306 is when the Jews were expelled from France. The Jews were expelled from France, from England, 1290, and that had ripple effects upon France, and it took them a while. There were various decrees, but until the decrees were implemented, it was 1306. So he lives through the expulsion of the Jews from France. Anyway, he is quoted a lot by the Rivash, but here he's quoted by the Marshal. Marshal, of course, is discussing Kabbalah and whether you should employ Kabbalah, one of the big, big controversial issues of the 16th century. But he says, no matter whether you're a Mekubal or not, when you daven, you shouldn't be davening with all these transcendent, mystical kavanas. When you daven, you should daven simple. Daven as simple as possible. And how does he say this? It's a very famous statement. Line number 2 in the Marshal. Amar, he quotes Rav Shimon, Shimshon of Kinon, that when you daven, Shum ispalo kitinok bin yomo. I daven like a little baby. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. I don't even know what's right. I don't have any presumption. I don't have any artifice. I don't have any sophistication. I stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a little baby, and I cry. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzilu, save me, help me. I don't know what right, what I do need, what I don't need, what I do have kavana. I try to divest myself of some of the artifice and daven in a more pure and authentic manner like a little baby. In fact, at the heart of our tefillos in the Beis HaMikdash was the Aron HaKodesh. They wouldn't face the Aron HaKodesh. Once a year, they pull back the curtain and let Am Yisrael look at the Aron HaKodesh. What do they see? The Kruvim. What do the Kruvim look like? Gemara says, famous Gemara in Sukkah, source number 8, my Kruv, Amar Bebo, Karavia. Two babies, two children, Shekin Bebavel, currently in Yuka, Ravia. So we want children in Shul, not just because, well, we'll tolerate them because we want a communal presence, or we'll tolerate them because it's more holistic. Because when you look at a child, you say, wait a second, where have I come from? I've come from the world of being innocent. I've lived X amount of years in this world of experience, but that's taken a heavy toll on my ability to stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a more simple, unadorned, and unpresumptuous fashion. So Moshe responds to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're taking everyone. You think it's just the Gevarim, we're taking everyone. First of all, because it's a Chag. Second of all, because Tefillah includes everyone possible. I sit down.
My name is Sasar. Good morning.